Today on the best-selling children's author show, Chicago Public Schools are excited to announce that every bathroom in the district, in every school, will now be gender neutral. Now, how could they instate a policy like this right on the heels of the Loudoun County scandal where a girl was raped in a bathroom by a boy in a dress? We'll talk about that today. Also, the White House unveils its new 5-point plan for defeating COVID. Will this work better than the plan they had before this, or the one before that, or the one before that? And Whoopi Goldberg engages in shocking transphobia while attacking pro-lifers. The New York Times argues that abortion is good because adoption is bad, and Trevor Noah takes the vaccine red pill, an unexpected turn of events. We'll talk about all of that and much more today on the best-selling children's author show. Have you gotten the GetUpside app yet? I've been telling you about it. I don't know what you're waiting for if you have not gone and to Google Play right now or the App Store and taken advantage of this app. I don't know what you're waiting for because GetUpside is all upside. There's no downside to it. You're saving money every time you go to the pump. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Use promo code Walsh and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code Walsh to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot and do a lot of traveling are making $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added to your account. It's as simple as that. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal. You can get an e-gift card to Amazon or somewhere else. And if you want this, just go download the free GetUpside app and use promo code Walsh to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's the free GetUpside app. Use promo code Walsh for 50 cents a gallon cash back. So the kids who attend Chicago public schools don't have it easy. They live in one of the most violent and crime-ridden places in the country. As of November 1st, 678 people had been murdered in the city, outpacing the murder rate from 2020, which was itself historically high. Homelessness is also on the rise, along with drug abuse and nearly every marker of societal disintegration. The poverty rate in Chicago is 20%. These dire conditions can be felt in the school system itself, where the violence from the street often spills into the hallways and the classrooms, as you might expect. The schools are so infected and surrounded by violence that many students are scared to walk home at the end of the day. Earlier this year, two 15-year-old students at one Chicago school were shot and killed in separate shootings on the same day near the school they attended. This is what it's like to attend class inside a war zone, basically. Academically, Chicago schools are subpar at best. Their elementary age students are below the national average in both math and reading. The situation is so bad that the school system brags about a graduation rate of only 82%, also considerably below the national average. Granted, it's an improvement from the catastrophic 60% graduation rate of 2007, but still not very good. All in all, suffice it to say that Chicago public schools have problems, major problems, and they aren't focused on solving any of them. Instead, the district has set inclusivity as one of its primary goals, and it most especially wants to impose inclusivity in the bathrooms. Now, as a normal and sane person, you have probably been inside hundreds of public restrooms and never once thought to yourself that the environment needed to be more inclusive. It's likely that you have never looked around and said, "Yeah, I really wish there was a more diverse array of people peeing alongside me." You may take note of many other improvements that can be made inside any particular public restroom, most of them hygiene and sanitation related, but diversity and inclusivity were probably not among them. But the Chicago public school system, like so many other school systems, is not run by people like you. It's run by weirdos and predators and perverts who have never met a heteronormative, quote-unquote, arrangement that they don't want to dismantle. And that's why the district announced this week that all bathrooms in all of its schools at every grade level will be made gender neutral from henceforward. They proudly released a video where Cammy Pratt and Deb Spraggins, their top Title IX officers and chief groomers, announced the change. Let's watch this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cammy Pratt, the district's chief Title IX officer.
And I'm Deb Spraggins, the district's deputy chief Title IX officer. The new school year is off to a strong start as we've welcomed our students back to our school buildings 5 days each week.
On top of ensuring that each of our schools is a safe learning environment, we're also taking steps to create more inclusive and supportive schools. One change that will be implemented this school year relates to our school bathrooms. In compliance with new federal guidelines, all CPS students and staff will have fair and equitable access to bathroom facilities that align with their gender identity. We will be providing all schools with updated signage that makes our bathrooms more inclusive. It will identify the fixtures available in each restroom and make it clear that all restrooms are open for use by anyone who feels comfortable. Staff will continue to have staff-only restrooms available to them. This is an incredibly important step to increase gender equity for all, which is why we will be requiring all schools to post this signage by December 1st of this school year. Our district's Office of Student Protections and Title IX is also working on a long-term plan to create more permanent signage for our bathrooms.
I encourage you to visit our website at cps.edu/OSP to learn more about our comprehensive approach to creating more inclusive, equitable, and safe schools. If you have any questions, you can email us at osp@cps.edu.
We look forward to having a safe and successful school year at every school in every neighborhood across Chicago. Thank you.
And to make the dystopian feel, the dystopian theme, to make it complete, of course, we have in the video footage of kids walking around with masks on their face. The signage on the bathrooms will read Boys Plus and Girls Plus, with a note indicating that, quote, all who feel comfortable are welcome to use this restroom. This, of course, does not take into account the fact that for most well-adjusted people, their comfort level in the bathroom depends on who else is allowed to use it. Most girls feel comfortable using the girls' restroom because there will only be girls inside it. These girls will not feel comfortable if anyone else who feels comfortable, regardless of sex, is allowed to join them. The upshot is that normal girls with a normal desire for privacy and safety will not feel comfortable anywhere now in Chicago public schools. There is no restroom for them to use. For the sake of providing comfort to the tiny minority of gender nonconformists, the comfort of everybody else must be sacrificed. For normal girls, that is, cis girls, as they're now called, in an effort to marginalize normalcy, the signs ought to simply say, go to hell, we don't care about you. Because after all, that is the message. This is not about comfort, generally speaking, and it's not about being inclusive or tolerant. If the policy was motivated by those desires, I'd still oppose it, because inclusivity, tolerance, and comfort cannot be the overriding concerns in a bathroom or really anywhere else in life. But as it happens, those are not the concerns here at all. As always, the predators and groomers are using these nice-sounding words as window dressing for their true agenda. In this case, the real point is to institute a social hierarchy where the desires of the Uber victims, those in the LGBT camp, especially trans people, are placed explicitly above the needs of those who are their inferiors. Normal girls and boys are punished for being normal. These are basically punitive measures. These punitive measures have, by design, a sort of if you can't beat them, join them effect after a while. Kids are so immersed in gender ideology, so subject to its commands, even in bathrooms, that eventually they're worn down and they learn to accept it and then, after a while, embrace it. You've probably already taken note of the timing of this bathroom policy change in Chicago. It comes directly on the heels of a major national scandal in Loudoun County that we uncovered here at the Daily Wire, where a girl was brutally raped inside a girl's bathroom by a boy in a dress. Now, some on social media have said that they can't believe that Chicago would instate this policy in spite of what happened in Virginia. But they're wrong. Chicago is not doing this now in spite of the Loudoun County scandal. They're doing it now because of that scandal. The groomers and predators and brainwashers of children are not backing away in shame because that happened. They certainly won't change course out of any concern for the safety of children. They don't care if kids are raped in the bathroom. They don't care. They only care if the raping becomes inconvenient to the trans agenda. The well-being of children is not a priority at all. It does not factor into the equation. They don't think about it. And that is not an exaggeration. I guarantee you, in Chicago, when they were coming up with this policy and talking about it, no one even said, well, are we worried about girls, their well-being? I mean, are we worried about their safety? Well, what if they end up getting abused or raped in the bathroom? That's not an issue. They don't care. What matters is that every aspect of student life conforms with the demands of leftist ideology and especially gender ideology, and any amount of suffering is a worthy trade towards that end. That's why Chicago is doing this now. They're doubling down. They're sending a message to the domestic terrorists, i.e. parents who value their children's safety and well-being. And the message is, your kids are ours. We own them. We will do what we want with them and to them. I said before that Chicago isn't focused on addressing the violence and chaos in its schools. And that's true, but I should mention that they did announce this year a new plan, what they call a healing-centered framework, to help kids cope with trauma related to violence, COVID, and other struggles. It's not clear what this will entail exactly, but we do know that it will cost $25 million, whatever they do with it. I wonder if the girls who will now be abused, raped, harassed, and accosted in the school's bathrooms will have access to those healing-centered services. Something tells me they will not, because their trauma doesn't count, just like their feelings and their comfort and their privacy doesn't count. It all must be sacrificed on the LGBT altar. And that is yet another reason, among so many, why I say to get your kids out of this damned, godforsaken system. Save them while you still can. Please. Now let's get to our five headlines. When it comes to gift giving, you know, they say that it's the thought that counts, but we all know that's one of the lies we all tell each other, and we all know that it's not true. It's not just the thought that counts. You know, if you have to put the right thought into the gift, and really what matters with a gift is, can I use it? Do I want it? Is it great? And I'll tell you one gift that you can give that will check all those boxes. It's the X chair, the chair I'm sitting in right now. How about a gift that keeps on giving you joy and comfort every day, all year long? A gift that looks as good as it feels, and a gift that will actually pay for itself in terms of how much more productive you'll be at work. I'm talking about giving yourself the gift, not someone else, of an X chair. I absolutely love mine. It's by far the most comfortable and ergonomic chair I've ever used. And honestly, it's also probably the coolest looking piece of furniture that I own. Not only is X chair the world's greatest office chair, but with its patented LMX technology, it doubles as a massage chair, and it can either cool or warm your back. Probably you've sat in many office chairs in your time that can't do all of that. Now is the perfect time to purchase an X chair. Buy early, buy now. And here's the X chair holiday gift for you. Save $100 off your X chair just by purchasing at xchairwalsh.com. Now, that's the letter X chair, WALSH.com. X chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairwalsh.com and save xchairwalsh.com. All right. As we get into news here on, The Matt Walsh Show, and I am a bestseller. I don't know if I told you, I'm a best-selling children's author. I don't even have a book. Where's the book? I don't have it. I forgot to have it on camera with me. You can go to johnnythewalrus.com. We're still sold out on Amazon at present, but you can go to johnnythewalrus.com and get that book. Also, as you can see, I am fulfilling my other true calling, along with being a children's author and a theocratic fascist and all that, and a philanthropist and a Virginian. I'm also a fashion model, so I'm wearing some of our Matt Walsh Show merchandise at the Daily Wire, the Return or Die shopping cart shirt, which is another bestseller, and for good reason, you know. And we've got a whole bunch of other merchandise there if you go to the Daily Wire. And I'll be funneling a lot of that stuff on. It's just going to look really, really I'm just a tacky bastard, so I'm going to be wearing the merchandise. It'll be all over the studio. I don't think any of the other hosts are doing this. Like, I'm the only one doing it. It's just greedy and tacky, but what can you do? All right, let's go. Let's start with here. The White House yesterday announced a new 5-point plan for COVID, a new one. So they've had, you know, they had the plan before this plan, and that didn't work. And, you know, but that was the plan. Resident Wiseacre says, when people start adding qualifiers to what makes one alive, then we can only assume that they would never apply those same qualifiers to themselves. Yeah, as we just talked about, that of course is the case. Every single pro-abortion person is quite happy that their own arguments were not applied to them, but they're an exception because they are important people and the world desperately needed them. The world desperately needed the contributions of one Whoopi Goldberg. And so, of course, she should not have been aborted, but all these other babies, clumps of cells, who cares? We got killed 60 million of them. Let's kill another 60 million. Means nothing. Kayla says, I was at the SLU talk, the SLU talk, I was at the SLU talk, and I knew you were serious when you said you tried to talk to the protesters. On the way home, I tried to convince my mom, who came with me, that's something you would do. But she isn't sweet baby gang like me, and she said it was too dangerous for you to confront the crazies and was so sure you were kidding. I was happy to rub it in when the footage was posted. Well, you know, I would ban your mom from the show for that, but it sounds like she doesn't watch anyway. And also, I can't blame her as a mom for feeling that way, you know, that this would be a very stupid and reckless thing to do. There's no way he would have done that. But of course, I did do it. And I will admit that, you know, some of the women in my life were perhaps not huge fans of that decision on my part. So I'll let your mom off the hook. Jessica says, Matt, you scallywag, I was at SLU yesterday for your event, garbed in my Sweet Baby Gang t-shirt, for which I paid roughly $4,982, and you didn't even stick around to take pictures or sign merch. This is an outrage, and I demand you give me your home address so that I can send my SBG shirt to be autographed. In fact, I did. I was there. I did stick around, and we were doing pictures and everything. I don't know where you were, okay? I was waiting around for you, Jessica. You didn't show up. So you're banned from the show, I hate to say. Clint says, as a defense contractor, I too travel a lot and spend many nights in hotels. My greatest wish is to be in the room next door and hear you do your show. It would be good to have someone friendly next door, I guess. I do think about that every time I'm doing the show because I'm always shouting when I do the show. And that's my camera voice. And I'm always thinking that, you know, the walls are thin at hotels. And I always feel sorry for the people around us who can certainly hear the entire thing. Why should I feel sorry for them? They get a sneak preview of the show. Another comment says, does your makeup artist get her own hotel suite when you're traveling? No, the makeup artist is Sean, my producer, when we're traveling. And we don't talk about it. It's not discussed. This is not something we'll ever discuss again. As you know, we don't talk about the fact that Sweet Daddy wears makeup. We don't talk about it. And now, everyone's favorite time, the time for the Daily Wire promos. And in this case, I'll tell you about things I've already told you about during the show. Johnny the Walrus is the book that's on sale right now. We sold out on Amazon the first day, which I don't know if this is true or not, but I got to think we have one of the fastest selling children's books ever. I don't know. As long as we're not counting Harry Potter as a children's book, then maybe I can possibly make that claim. But either way, we sold out on Amazon in a day. And now we are on johnnythewalrus.com. Just go to johnnythewalrus.com and get your book today. Also, if you haven't already, you should go check out our new merch store over at dailywire.com/shop. While you're there, get your hands on a Let's Go Brandon trucker hat or a Do Not Comply t-shirt. Or you could get the Return or Die shirt that I'm wearing right now. Order now and get it in time for Christmas and get a sweet discount on those Daily Wire original collections. That's dailywire.com/shop. Go check it out immediately. Now let's get to our daily cancellation. You know, I am no historian, but one thing I have noticed when I read about human civilizations of the past is that they were all comprised of humans. Seems evident from my study of the subject that you can't have a human civilization without humans. The most basic purpose of a civilization is to propagate itself, not the only purpose, but one of the most basic, just as the most basic biological purpose of each individual human is to reproduce. So it follows that a civilization which gives up on producing humans will inevitably collapse. And that's why I am worried about the trend in the West towards childlessness and childishness, I guess. As our fertility rate drops below replacement level, we more and more resemble a society that has basically given up on itself. We are people who have lost interest in people, a civilization that has despaired of itself. A survey from Pew Research Center this week provides more detail on this trend. MSN reports, quote, a growing share of U.S. adults who aren't already parents say they probably won't have children, citing reasons such as apathy, financial instability, or the lack of a partner. A new survey from the Pew Research Center found that 44% of non-parents ages 18 to 49 says it's not too likely or not at all likely that they will have children someday, an increase of 7 percentage points from the 37% who said the same in 2018. The survey doesn't bode well for a reversal of the downward trend in U.S. fertility rates, which have been hammered by the public health and economic crises caused by the pandemic. The number of babies born in the country fell 4% to about 3.6 million in 2020, the largest decline since 1973. Although the reasons for not having children vary sharply, the main one given by childless adults is simply that they don't want any. Other reasons given include medical at 19% and financial at 17%. About 15% cite the lack of a partner, 10% said it was the age of their partner, and 9% blame the state of the world. Roughly 1 in 20 cite environmental factors, including climate change, as the reasons behind their desire to not have a child, which only just supports what I've said before, that like no one actually cares about climate change. Continuing, among adults under 40 who are already parents, about one quarter don't expect to have more children due to the financial cost involved, while 3 in 10 say they're too old. Okay, so the survey says that 17% cite financial concerns for their decision to remain childless indefinitely. But I would guess that the real portion is much higher than that. I'm not sure I've ever spoken to a childless adult about this subject without them mentioning finances as at least one of the reasons for their childless lifestyle choice. So I think it's worth responding to that specific objection in some detail. First of all, it's almost certainly not true that you can't afford to have kids, because there's no income requirement for parenthood. You don't need to pay any monthly subscription fee. Plenty of people poorer than you not only have kids, but have them and live quite happily and comfortably. You know, it's in many ways, having kids is about as expensive as you make it. You have a whole, and there are expenses that come up, obviously, as a parent that you have no control over. But on a day-to-day basis, you have a whole lot of leeway in how expensive this is going to be. Just like you have a leeway in how expensive your own life is going to be. So it's not that you can't afford children, it's that you can't afford your current lifestyle once you have added children into the bargain. So it's a matter of priority, not raw cost per se. But all of life is a series of trade-offs, and this is no exception. In this case, the trade-off is more material possessions and financial security in exchange for being alone and leaving no lasting legacy when you die. Will your material possessions, your stuff, your inanimate objects, will all of this bring you the kind of joy and fulfillment that you can derive from a family? Given that joy and fulfillment are what we all fundamentally desire and pursue, this is the big question. And I think the answer is no. I'll put it to you this way. You know, I was traveling again this week. When I'm on the road, I miss my kids and my wife. I don't miss the stuff at my house. My wife sends me pictures of the kids when I'm gone. She doesn't send me pictures of the couch or the TV. There's a connection with other humans, with your family, your children, your wife, that brings you a sort of joy and purpose that you just can't find anywhere else. Parenthood is also transformational. Having kids changes you for the better, or at least it should. I mean, it doesn't for everyone, but it should. It gives you the opportunity for that, maybe we should say. There are very few like threshold moments in your life where something happens, a change occurs, you walk through a door and you're never the same again. There are plenty of moments where you think everything is changing and you're changing, but you're not. So you go on vacation and you travel and it's amazing and you feel like it's changed your perspective on life. And then within 36 hours of being home, you're the same person again. But having kids is different. That's one of those crossing the Rubicon type moments. Should you forfeit that for monetary reasons? Another thing to keep in mind is that you may take a step back in lifestyle when you have kids, but that's not necessarily a permanent situation. I'm in a much better financial position, better position in terms of lifestyle today with four kids than I was before I had kids. You might say that, well, if I never had kids, I'd be doing even better financially. Maybe. I mean, you know, we can't know, but probably not. Because the other thing that kids do for you is they give you a sense of purpose and ambition that's hard to muster and stir up within yourself just purely of your own accord. I've taken chances that I wouldn't have taken if I didn't have a family to feed. I've invested myself in projects that I probably wouldn't have taken on if I didn't have a family depending on me. I've made sacrifices that I wouldn't have made without a family to make them for. I'm a better person in many ways than I would be if I did not have kids looking up to me and modeling themselves after me. I'm still not a great person, but certainly better than the alternative. It's not a coincidence, I think, that people are giving up on kids in our culture. And they're also giving up on everything else. 10 million open jobs that nobody wants to take, workers dropping out of the workforce, grown adults living at home with their parents and so on. We aren't seeing that people forego families and then go out into the work world and obsessively pursue their ambitions. That still wouldn't be the right way to live, in my opinion, but that's not what's happening. What we find more often is that people give up on kids and soon everything else follows. In the end, it's hard to live for other people, but it's harder to live for yourself. There are sacrifices you have to make for your family, many of them monetary. But if you don't have anyone to sacrifice for, then eventually you just run out of reasons to try at all. That's what we're witnessing in our culture today. And that's why I urge you, again, as I have many times in the past and will many times in the future, and as God commanded in Genesis, be fruitful and multiply. You'll figure out the financial part of it. Trust me, you will. So who is canceled today? I suppose people who choose money over children are ultimately canceled. And once again, of course, I have to cancel those who, I mean, of all the financial obligations, one that is not an option. This is not discretionary spending. That is buying Johnny the Walrus at johnnythewalrus.com. So make sure you do that also, or you're canceled. And we'll leave it there for today and the week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review. Also, tell your friends to subscribe as well. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're there. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Ben Shapiro Show, Michael Knowles Show, The Andrew Klavan Show. Thanks for listening. The Matt Walsh Show is produced by Sean Hampton, executive producer Jeremy Boring. Our supervising producer is Mathis Glover. Our technical director is Austin Stevens. Production manager, Pavel Vodosky. The show is edited by Ali Hinkle. Our audio is mixed by Mike Coromina. Hair and makeup is done by Cherokee Hart. And our production coordinator is McKenna Waters. The Matt Walsh Show is a Daily Wire production, copyright Daily Wire 2021.
Hey, everybody, this is Andrew Klavan, host of The Andrew Klavan Show. You know, some people are depressed because the Republic is collapsing, the end of days is approaching, and the moon's turned to blood. But on The Andrew Klavan Show, that's where the fun just gets started. So come on over to The Andrew Klavan Show and laugh your way through the fall of the Republic with me, Andrew Klavan.